Blog Talk Radio.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. Brought to you today by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook at www.audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia. That's where you'll find more than 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. That's audiblepodcast.com/mrmedia. So where was I before the commercial? All right. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world and former home of comedians Tommy Blaze and Ron Bennington, Tampa Bay, Florida.
My first sleepover that I had with Joe. The sun was shining, we lay peaceful in a glow. My cat sat staring at me, waiting to be fed. So I moved slowly to get up and out of bed. It was so quiet, except the chirping of a bird. And then I ripped the loudest fart I ever heard. He didn't move, he just pretended not to hear. But I walked away with my head hung in shame and fear. And then I thought to myself, if you fart in front of someone you love, it shouldn't matter. And if you fart in front of someone you need, it shouldn't matter. But if you feel you know your love isn't for him. 'Cause if you fart in front of someone you love, it shouldn't matter. But Joe stayed with me months and months and months went by. I didn't repeat the offense, I just played real shy. One night we went to dinner with his mom and dad. It was the worst seafood that I had ever had. I was locked in the bathroom for an hour or more. And then I heard Joe's mom knock gently on the door. She said quite loudly to a woman standing by, "What's she doing in there? Lady, I'm baking a friggin' pie." But if you fart in front of someone you love, it shouldn't matter. And if you have explosive diarrhea in a public bathroom and there's wine forming, including boyfriend's parents, it doesn't matter. 'Cause if you feel yourself holding it in, you know your love isn't for him. 'Cause if you fart in front of someone you love, it shouldn't matter. This is Barbara Knoll. Sing along. Sing along to this last part. Don't hold it in. If you think you love farting, woo! Don't hold it in, yeah. If you think you love,
okay, next verse, you in the back. No. What do you get when you combine comedy with singing, plus tattoos, bodily functions, sexual revelations, and Judaism? Dava Krause. Okay, Sarah Silverman would not be a wrong answer, but just not the right answer today. Krause just released a new album, Child of the 80s, which will leave you laughing and singing along, all the while asking the person next to you, "What did she say?" I'll be playing a few cuts from Krause's new release during the show, but if you can't wait, you can order it from her website, www.davakrause.com. You can also follow her on Twitter, MySpace, Facebook, and YouTube. Not MyTube, YouTube. Dava, welcome to Mr. Media.
Well, thank you. It's Dava, but I appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
Dava, I'm very sorry.
No
yeah,
worries.
I thought this was one of those times I didn't need to check on pronunciation, but there you go.
Wow, you really started off. You started off the morning right. I like it.
Well, you know, I think when we're going to jump in with people, they need to know what they're getting into.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That's right. No easing them in.
If I was interviewing someone from Leonard Skinner, I'm sure I would play "What's That Smell?" just to be along the same.
Yes, Skinner, Freebird.
There you go. Well, or "What's That Smell?"
"What's That Smell?"
How hard is it for a woman to get noticed in comedy today?
You know, it's not that hard. I mean, the thing is there's less of us. I'm in LA and I'm in New York and I go to New York. And so out here, it's an equal battle. It's like, you know, women, men, you know, all the good ones are here. They're in New York. On the road, it's a little bit harder, you know, 'cause people just don't think you want to do it. They don't think you want to travel alone and, you know, do the whole thing, which I love to do. It's one of my favorites, but, you know, it's there's two sides. It's easier and it's harder to get noticed. If you're good, and since there's you know less of us, then yeah, it's easier to get noticed. But you know, people have prejudices. But you know, what are you going to do?
Do you wind up telling stories or making up stories, whatever the case may be, that you maybe didn't intend early on in your career to share or to even tell in an act, but you've got to do things that are more outrageous, either as a woman or as a comedian, or just, you know, because there's so many people out there.
No, I'm just classless and lowbrow, and I've always been that way. So I'm not going to change on stage. I mean, you know, that's just who I am. So I don't do it on purpose. I mean, if you talk to me in real life, that's how I'm going to sound, pretty much. I overshare everything, just in general.
So I was not wrong to open with the fart song.
No, I mean, you know, hey, sometimes I ease into it, but, you know, hey, why not? Let's do it.
Have you ever told something personal in the act that you wound up having to take out because it cut a little too close for somebody close to you?
Yeah, not me, because I don't care, but my husband's like, can we have some boundaries, please? You know, he's like, can you at least wait 4 months before a fight goes into the act? And I'm like, sure, dear, you know. And, of course, everything I do about him is totally exaggerated. But, yeah, he also asked me to, on Facebook, he was linked as my husband. As you know, I said, I'm married, and then I linked him on Facebook. And he's like, can you unlink me on Facebook? I don't need, like, every Joe and Mary knowing what I look like and what I do for a living. It's enough that I'm publicly emasculated on a nightly basis. I'd like to stay anonymous. So
he's okay with the public emasculation. He just doesn't want anybody to make the connection to him.
Exactly. As long as it's a fictional character in somebody's head, he's fine with it.
Got it. Now, how long have you been married now?
A year and a half.
And from listening to the new CD, Child of the 80s, I was going to guess it hasn't been that long, and I wondered has it changed your material? Has it limited your material, or has it expanded your material?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's changed. You know, again, I am a comedian who talks about my life and talks about what's going on in my life. So that's what's going on in my life now. I'm a newly married person, and we're both trying to, you know, get along and figure things out, and it's hard and it's funny. So it's definitely changed in that way. I don't know. I think it's gotten, I think it's for the better. I mean, he's literally the funniest person I've ever met. So it's just living with him is constant material. Constant.
When did you notice that you were, pardon me, adapting the act? Because a lot of your material is relationships, and there's material on this CD that seems to go back to dating, like the fart song. Did you notice that you were gradually evolving the act away from boyfriends and dates to, you know, husband material, or?
I mean, I think what happened was is you start writing more, and then so you start, you know, you start kind of taking out the weaker links and putting in the new stuff, and it's just, you know, kind of a constant gardening, you know, it's like a garden, tending the garden, tending the act. And, I mean, at one point, yeah, I had been newly married, and I thought perhaps I should not say I'm still single. That's, you know, and just start talking about that. And then, yeah, everything kind of, I don't know. I think everything with the boyfriends, all the boyfriends and all the dating stuff, it actually fits better now that I'm married, because it's sort of, it just sort of all kind of makes sense. It's like I went on this long, not even that long. I think I got married too young, but I love him and I met him, and it was the kind of thing where I, you know, I met him and I was like, oh crap, I'm going to have to marry this guy. He's just, he's too good not to, you know? So it's like, all right. So then I tricked him into it. But yeah, just after a while, I just started noticing, you know, you have to shift. And, you know, of course, what you say on stage doesn't have to be your real life, but it, you know, again, it was the material was coming out of, you know, being a newly married couple, and it had to shift. So.
Well, before we get too far away from your dating past, I'd like to play, with your permission, I'd like to play a little clip from Child of the 80s. This is not a song. This is from the live act. So, folks, this is Deva?
Yes.
Yes, Deva Krause, Child of the 80s.
I actually am married. It's been a year since I got married. And you don't have to clap. You know, that's cool. It's not going that well. We actually met the traditional way, online. And we a lot of my friends were meeting on the J-Date. You guys familiar with this? It's JewishDate.com. We actually met on SmokaJ.com. And then I tricked him into marrying me. I did. Gotcha! Actually posted as an event for fantasy football on Facebook. So that was good. You know, I'm actually in an all-girl fantasy football league, which is great. We meet weekly and talk about our fantasies with the players.
is being Jewish good or bad for the act?
Oh, I don't know, Bob. I have no idea. I can only talk about what I, you know, what I feel is funny, and I don't know. I think being Jewish is pretty funny sometimes.
Well, let me ask you in this. Obviously, I mean, you've never been anything but Jewish, so I'm
that's
guessing,
right.
So, you know, it's hard to compare. But in terms of audiences, you do make you know, several references. J-Date, for example.
Yeah.
Are there things that a non-Jewish audience, you know, they're turning to the person next to them? What does that mean? What's she talking about? Do you get a lot of that, or people just get it?
Probably. I don't get a lot of it. I mean, I've been to very, very small towns, you know, in, you know, Washington State, and, you know, there's always some guy who comes up to me after the show and he's like, my mama was Jewish, and it's like, okay, thanks for sharing that secret with me, you know? Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, not everyone knows what J-Date is, obviously, but I do explain it halfway in the act, and even if you don't know what it is, I think the joke's still funny. So, you know, you can laugh at it and find it funny, and then those of us who are Jewish or know Jewish people and culture and, you know it more intimately and maybe get it on a different level, you know?
Now, you're doing mainstream clubs, though. It's not like you're doing appearances like at temples. I assume
not at the temples. Although I hear they pay well. Yeah, I'm in clubs and sort of like I'm in Portland in April at Harvey's, and in San Francisco I'm going to be at Club Deluxe April 20th. That's going to be great. But I also play like smaller little indie venues because I think the music and sort of my vibe goes well with sort of a small music club kind of vibe. Started to do a show at the Improv every other month. It's called The Jam, and it's all musical comics. And eventually I'd like to grow that out and do it at an El Rey or at a music venue, because I just think it's just a great venue for comedy. I mean, clubs are great. You sit down, you know, they're perfectly designed for maximum laughter. You know, people are close together, and there's a two-drink minimum, and you're on stage. But I love the indie vibe. I go see a lot of music. Love being able to have standing room only, you know, just bar in the back and just kind of standing around and having fun. So hopefully you'll get there someday.
Who are some of the singing comedians that have inspired you to go that route as opposed to just doing stand-up or just doing, you know, song?
You know what? There's not. I mean, Stephen Lynch, of course, is great. Mark Eddy is amazing. I love doing the musical stuff. It's not really, you know, it's on. You know, Tenacious D was like my favorite thing ever when they first came out. But I have admired stand-up, I think, longer than I've admired musical stand-up. When I was a kid, I had an Andrew Dice Clay tape that I knew frontwards and backwards. I was literally 10, and I knew every line on that tape. The cassette, that's, you know, child of the 80s. And I would rewind, you know, my mother's like, what the hell are you listening to? And just, like, just different people coming up that I really admire. Like, Louis C.K. is one of my all-time favorites. And, you know, again, because he talks about his life, what's going on, real life in his life. And it's painful, but it's funny. So that's my favorite kind of humor.
I guess a young Jewish girl listening to Andrew Dice Clay would be the equivalent of a young black man, teenage, let's say, listening to Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that and, like, Wendy Liebman, you know, she was one of my heroes. She's actually a good friend of mine now. And, I mean, I love Wendy, but it's totally different kind of comedy. And I like Sarah, too, but, you know, people do compare us. But I think we're actually, we both play the guitar, and we look vaguely alike, Jewy, but we actually completely different material. You know, Sarah has a very stylized way of talking about things and doesn't really reveal much of herself, or at least you're not sure if it's truly her or a character that she's, you know, sort of come up with. Whereas, you know, I consider myself more in the Louis C.K. sort of, you know, spill your guts kind of comedy.
I, for some reason, when I asked you the question about the singing comedy, I was actually thinking of Martin Mull, of all people. Used to do a lot of I don't know if he does any stand-up at all these days, but he used to do a lot of song in his stand-up. So just crossed my mind. And who comes out to see you? Is it different for a woman in terms of the crowd that you attract, or are you attracting that regular – I don't mean regular, but the same comedy crowd that – I mean, if Louis C.K. is out, are you guys attracting the same audience?
Well, I'm booked in, you know, sort of mainstream clubs, and so, you know, there you get your couples and, you know, your slightly older crowd. I've played casinos, and the older crowd gets me. I think they find me amusing. I think they find me slightly disturbing and intimidating because they're like, I hope my granddaughter doesn't do that. You know, I mean, I think it's a mixed crowd. I think guys and girls, but it's always so great when a woman comes up to you after a show and says, like, it's so great to see a woman up there. You know, that's always it just feels good, you know? And, so I think a younger crowd, kind of a youngish, hipper crowd, gets me the most. That's who comes out to see me. And but it's definitely mixed. I don't know.
Is there or was there any kind of a glass ceiling for what you do?
No, not really. I mean, you know, again, there's always instances, there's always people, but you know, a really funny, halfway decent-looking woman is definitely more rare than a goofy-looking male comic. And so in that way, it's almost easier. I mean, it's hard to go on the road. Men don't really want to take you on the road, I've found. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just a bad road companion. I don't know. But, you know, there isn't really a glass ceiling. I don't think. Not if you use your uniqueness to an advantage.
Well, let me play another song. I have to apologize because maybe you can tell me after the song plays what this one is called. I have an early version of the CD that does not have titles. So you can tell us all what the name of the song is after I play it. But I love this. I want to share this. This is Dava Krause from Child of the 80s.
He said, I'd like to take you out on an actual date. He said, you only come over at night when it's really late. Wanna be your boyfriend? Tell me what I should do. If you give me a chance, I'll be good to you. I said, let's just do it without talking. I said I just got over a serious relationship thing, so I consider this just a meaningless fling. It's totally me, it's really not about you, but I don't wanna be your girlfriend, I just came here to screw, so let's just do it without talking. I consider you my sexual sorbet, you cleanse the lower palate, then you go away. I consider you my own sexual sorbet, you make the memories of my ex just go away. You're a really great guy, I just want you to know. And if I met you a year from now, we could probably really give it a go. Right now, don't try to get me to open my heart, 'cause if I have a feeling, I just might fall apart. So let's just do it without talking. I think of you as my sexual sorbet, you cleanse lower palate, then you go away. I consider you my own sexual sorbet, you make the memories of my ex just go away. It's been great spending these late nights with you. You've really helped me heal my wounds. But I have a feeling that you're really starting to like me. So I must bid adieu. I just wanted a booty call.
That was
so proud.
Kayla Krause from the Child of the 80s CD, which you can get at her website, davakrause.com.
Or iTunes.
What's that one called?
It's on iTunes, too. It's called Sexual Sorbet.
Oh, excellent. That was my guess. That's what I had written on my notes.
Yeah.
I love that. What a great description of what you got
Thank
going
you.
On.
Thank you.
Like that. You know, I was listening to that, and I was thinking, we talked before about the difference between the act pre and post marriage. Any great jokes that you had to let go, once you got married? Anything that maybe you could bring back for us now and tell us?
It's all kind of changed. Like, as I said, I have it on the CD. I actually got married in a park near where I grew up in Philadelphia, and my husband and I got married there, and it was cool because I was kind of like walking down the aisle, in high school, we used to go to this park to like make out with boys and smoke cigarettes, mm-hmm. and so it was cool because I was walking down the aisle sort of seeing ghosts of penises past, and it was really... It was memory lane for me, but no, not really. I mean, I still talk about all that stuff. I think that makes it even funnier because it's like now I'm supposed to be this you know wifey person, and I have this whole sordid past. And my husband didn't really. He was pretty pretty calm. It didn't really I was kind of the wild child. So I think it's even funnier now that I had all these crazy experiences with guys, and I had my fun, and now I'm trying to be like a good wife.
It's hard to leave all
I'm
that history
terrible
behind.
At it.
Oh, I doubt that.
Oh, I'm terrible. I'm the worst. I try to be like the sad thing is I enjoy cooking and I like want to do it, and my husband's like, please don't, please refrain, because every time I make something, it's so bad. He's like, let's just go out. I don't want you to cook. Please don't try again. But I want to. I want to provide you with food. I understand. It's a nice impulse, but please shove the impulse down. Yeah.
And have you found other topics besides relationships that you've gone into now that maybe you did not before?
Yeah. I'm not on the CD, obviously, that's some stuff I've been doing for a while. But, yeah, I'm starting to kind of come into my own with, some of my own neuroses, and talk about those a little bit more now that I actually understand them. And I'm getting a little older. I'm getting more comfortable with myself and my opinions and my views. And it's definitely coming out in my act for sure.
Do you feel any pressure to have kids so you have fresh material?
No, not at all. Not
okay.
at all. we're gonna wait a real long time on that. And
okay.
Yeah.
When did you first realize that you were funny? Or when did people respond to you as funny?
kind of always. I was just kind of, I always kind of made fun of my relatives for my mom. She was a great, great, great audience member. I actually lost her 2 years ago, which was like the biggest impact on my life. So she always laughed at me. I always made fun of family members or friends or whatever. And then my very best friend, Melissa, who actually just published a book of poetry, she's an accomplished writer, she and I used to listen to Andrew Dice Clay, and then I would tell her stories about my family and stuff that happened. And she actually recorded 2 hours of me telling stories on her little cassette tape and would play them in the car when she would go on ski trips with her family. So my so her dad and her mom and her sister and her, they would literally sit and listen to my stories in the car. And I don't think I realized that that was stand-up until, I guess, until the Andrew Dice Clay tapes. I'm like, oh, people tell stories for a living, and they make people laugh. That's a concept. Oh, good. Let's go with this. So, yeah, that's when I kind of knew. And that was, I would say, like in fourth grade, fourth, third, fifth grade.
Wow. And when was the first time you got paid for being funny?
It was in 2002, and I still have the check. I have to cash the check, but I photocopied the check, and it was actually a huge gig. I almost peed my pants. I was with my friend who's a headliner, and we did this show in San Diego. I don't even know if it still exists. It's called 4th and B. There was actually 5,000 people that they shoveled in there. I guess it's like, I don't know, good deal on liquor. I have no idea. And there was a screen next to my face so people could, like, hear me and see me. And I did 15 minutes, and I got $100, and it was great. I still have the check. It's photocopied and framed on my wall. Waiting to add more zeros to it. I'll photocopy that check, hang that on the wall.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's go with one more cut from David Krause's CD, Child of the 80s. I got to stick with the theme here. This is another relationship cut, and we'll come back and we'll tell you where you can order it and where to find more about David Krause.
Thanks.
Like, I have a lot of notches on my belt, and I'm, you know, I'm proud of my notches. I'm proud of, you know, their memories, right? And you know, like, I got like a bunch of notches here, a bunch of big notches. Those are the black eyes. you know, I've got a couple small little notches here, and those are the midgets. I got a couple round back, and you know what those are for, sir. And
short but sweet.
Yes.
Let's see. Folks, listen, you can order David Krause's new comedy CD, Child of the 80s, online at MrMedia.com. You can also check it out at her website, which is www.davakrause.com. I'm going to spell that, because maybe my pronunciation does not get you to the right spelling. So it's DavaKrause.com. Solid DavaKrause.com. You can also follow Dava on Twitter, on MySpace, Facebook, or see bits for performing on YouTube. You are out actively playing comedy
yeah.
clubs, so people can catch you on the road.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be in Philadelphia, my hometown, on April 1st at a place called Kyber, which is a music venue. All this stuff is listed on my website, too. And then I'll be in New York at Comics on April 2nd. I will be in Portland, Oregon at Harvey's from April 8th to the 12th. I will be in San Francisco April 20th at the Elbow Room. Club Deluxe. And then in May, I will be in Vegas at the Improv and also touring the Pacific Northwest. Oh, and don't forget my new show. It's our second one. I'm very excited about. It's called The Jam, and it's at the Improv in the Lab Space. And our next one is May 5th, and it's going to be awesome. Very excited.
Very good. And again, folks, go to davakrause.com. There's a calendar there with all of her dates. You can see where she'll be next. And Dava, I really enjoyed the CD. I wish you a lot of luck with it, and thank you so much for being on Mr. Media today.
Thank you so much. It was really fun.
My pleasure. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, folks, for more interviews with your favorite stand-up comedians, you can surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Robert Schimmel, Lisa Lampanelli, Jason Stewart, Bob Alper, Ralphie May, Michelle Ballin, and many more. And please take advantage of this great offer for Mr. Media radio listeners. go to www.audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia to get a free audiobook download of your choice for more than 75,000 in stock. It's when you sign up today. Again, that's www.audiblepodcast.com/MRmedia for your free audiobook. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes. You'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a little piece of your day and spend it with us. And let's go out saying goodbye to David Krause.
I went to L.A. I dated this guy one time. He's really starstruck. And, like, everywhere we went, he thought he saw a celebrity. Every chihuahua was the Taco Bell dog. Yeah. Every gay guy was Ryan Seacrest. One time, he's like, oh my God, that's Eddie Murphy. I'm like, yeah, I don't think Eddie Murphy works at the IHOP. Presidio.